Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to this FT Work and Careers podcast, Meet the Fit Hacks. I'm Isabel Barrick, Executive Editor of FT Work and Careers, and I did not run the London Marathon. But I'm joined by two people who did, FT journalists Patrick McGee and Laura Noonan. Welcome both.
Hello.
Hello. The good news is we're still alive.
Quite, and you've sprinted into the studio to talk about how you got on in the race and about your wider project, which is a challenge to each other and to FT readers to spend the next year competing to become, and this is their words, not mine, fitter, healthier and faster. Laura and Patrick will then run the marathon in April 2019 and see how things have changed. So let's kick off with this weekend's marathon, which will form the benchmark for the beginning of your challenge. Patrick and Laura, how did you get on? And let's start with Laura, because I think you have something to announce.
It was a very tough day. It was very hot, but I did set a personal best in the marathon, which was great. So that was 4:45, which is the best I've done by about 7 minutes. But I feel it's kind of an unfair benchmark for the challenge because Patrick's time was a good bit slower than a previous time he did. So he can improve on it. Probably like next week if he reminded to.
What? So I ran the Paris Marathon 2 weeks ago in 3:29, which was great, but it's a very poor training idea. And it's because I didn't think I was going to be able to run London. And when that opportunity came up, I didn't want to cancel Paris. So I did London in 3:57. So compared to 3:29, obviously that's not great. And so, yeah, maybe you're right that if you set a PB and I sort of
came
sabotaged
in half an hour later than your recent one,
then it
one.
Makes it easier for me. Yeah, maybe.
Well, we'll make that clear on the update, or perhaps Laura
let's keep
will.
That secret.
So, how is this going to work? Just explain to the readers how you're going to measure your fitness in the months ahead. Patrick, can you give us a bit of an overview?
So both of us went to the good folks at Nuffield, and we took tests to determine our resting heart rate, our VO2 max.
What's a VO2 max?
It's oxygen uptake.
The lung capacity and how you use in regenerative fitness. I was told that my score was a very improvable one. A backhanded compliment if I ever heard one. Patrick got on a lot better.
I got like in the middle range for excellent, but they said if I want to run a sub-3 marathon, I'd have to get to superior.
And I got on the borderline range between fair and good, which seemed pretty harsh to me. But
so there
yeah.
you go. So you have a big advantage then too, if we're measuring this by the baseline.
Yeah. So the idea is that we measure off of a number of different metrics. So we have the various metrics that we got around our base fitness from the Nuffield. We were planning to measure it on the most improved time from the London Marathon. As I just said, I think that's kind of unfair now that Patrick's time was slower than his time. So we may have to revisit that metric.
Yeah.
And then there'll also be challenges. We're going to try and either do a different training regime every month or try and do a monthly incremental challenge along the way. And the field is wide open for the readers who want to come onto the comments thread or who want to like tweet us and give us ideas for other challenges that we can take on over the year.
Okay, so there's already a huge number of very lively comments under your article. Can the readers actually see how you're getting on? Is there going to be real-time data?
I don't think we've made them public yet, but I'm quite comfortable putting my Strava data out there.
Yes, I think the idea is we are going to update the comments right on the article with links to both of our Strava presences. That will allow any reader who's also on the Strava app to see how many miles we run, at what pace, where, if as we integrate other kinds of fitness, Strava can also log like cycling, it can log like swimming. So the readers can actually follow us there in real time if they want to.
I have an idea, but I haven't cleared it by this company that I won't mention yet, where you would actually be able to compete against me and Laura. And if I can set that up, then we'll announce that and people could actually try to sort of compete with our training regimen and either meet it or fail.
Cool. The joys of technology.
Yeah.
So it's not just about the running though, is it? One of your goals, Patrick, is to be you're a swimmer as well.
I'm not
a
swimmer.
Oh, you're not a swimmer.
I'd like to change that.
Okay, so you want
to change
that.
I have a story of a miserable event a few years ago in Hong Kong when I thought, because I was running trail marathons at the time, that surely I could do a 2 mile swim because in marathon terms, 2 miles is nothing. So I tried an open water swimming competition and I had to be rescued twice.
Okay.
I'll leave that for another column.
So that'll be another column or podcast. Laura, you want to complete a triathlon and you're also scared of animals on the trail. Perhaps we could delve a little bit further into that psychological.
So I've done some of my fastest ever running in the Irish hills when I've seen cows. So there are Irish trail races where and there are cows in the field. And if anyone's ever been in a field that has a lot of cows, they can look like they're very far away and like they're moving very, very slowly. But actually then suddenly they're just there. And cows are big and cows are scary. I've also encountered like monkeys running in Singapore, these black boar pig thing on a trail Patrick recommended in Asia in Hong Kong. So I don't like the wild because I'm scared of animals and dogs and things are going to come and eat me. But I do hear that it is a very nice place to run. It's also easier on your knees apparently running on trails. So I would like to get more comfortable with trails and with the wild animals. On running a triathlon, on competing in a triathlon, that was a fairly hastily added goal where I felt like I should just kind of put something in there that I hadn't done before. I hadn't given it a whole lot of thought. I also can't swim that well. I could probably cycle, but the swimming would be a real challenge for me. And the other thing that gets me about doing a triathlon is the idea of being in the water with that many people and their limbs around you and getting like someone else's foot in your cheek and that kind of thing. I've never swam in that kind of close quarters. And some of the triathlons, especially the Irish ones, are on in water that you wouldn't particularly want to get into. So I've got to give that part of it a lot more thought.
Okay, so there's quite a lot going on here for you two in the next year. But just for the readers, what first got you going? What was your original motivation, Patrick?
I have a strange one, which is that I have this giant library of audiobooks and I was finding I was never listening to them. Basically, I bought them as a student and then I became a journalist after uni. And if you're staring at a screen all day and reading and writing, you don't want to pick up Gibbon and go through another 100 pages in the evening. So I thought, I was living in New York, if I could start running around Central Park for half an hour each night listening to a book, then that would be a great way of doing it. And basically weeks went by of me doing this and I realized I actually enjoyed the running bit as well. And then within a few months, I signed up for a half marathon and I did a marathon later that year.
So it's all with a book. Are you a podcast addict as well? Or just?
I also listen to podcasts, but I try to listen to, there's something entertaining and normal about podcasts that I can just listen to them anytime. But an audiobook that's like quite difficult read will make a great 3-hour run on a Sunday.
Excellent. And Laura, what was your original motivation?
I guess it was more evolution. I mean, I took up running when I lived on the beach in Ireland and the beach was just the most beautiful place to run. So every day started with going for a 6 a.m., 7 a.m. run on the Strand and it was just gorgeous. And then I just kind of kept going. And there's a kind of addictive thing to it where you've done your first 10K, then you think, oh, I could probably try a half. Then you do a half and you're like, oh, wouldn't it be great to do the marathon? Now, the marathon is the height of my ambition in terms of distance running. Patrick does these mad ultras. I want to be very clear, I have no intention of doing a 100km race as part of this marathon. Yeah. I mean, if at the end of yesterday's marathon someone said to me, oh, could you run another 20k, it would just not have been possible. And I just don't see the point in going beyond marathons. I'm very clear on that.
I think, but I have 12 months to convince you.
Yeah, I wish you luck with that. So I think that is so. But the thing about the marathon as well is once you've done one, aside from the pain, and yeah, today is a bit achy, but it's such a great event. I mean, anyone who was on the streets in London yesterday, to be part of that is just amazing. There's like tens of thousands of people all over the streets. Everyone's so happy. Everyone's so nice. All these like total strangers, they buy all this stuff. Like they buy all these drinks and energy gels and sweets. And someone handed out Cool Pops, which are these ice things. And they just give them to like total strangers and they encourage strangers and they help them. And I mean, to get to be a part of that is such a big, like there are so many people who can't run for various physical reasons and limitations or even time to training. So if you are a person who has the capacity to do it, if you are, you know, young and fit, or even if you aren't that young, but if you're fit, able-bodied, you have the time, you have the determination to do it. It's such a privilege to be able to do it that you should.
There'll be hundreds or thousands of new people hitting the streets of London this week. What advice have you got for those newbies, Patrick?
The first year of running, I think, is the best one because inevitably you're going to be slow and you won't be able to run very far at first. But if you're tracking it, and there's loads and loads of apps, we've talked about Strava, but there's, you know, hundreds, you will start progressing so quickly. And that's so motivating. So if you're serious about thinking, I want to run the 2019 marathon, I mean, the next year, if you start now, would just be being able to do 1 mile. A few weeks later, you'd be able to double that. Then you should be able to try 5 miles. And that's just amazing. Once you get into the second or third year, it becomes incredibly demotivating when you realize that you've plateaued and that you know.
So you set yourself a challenge against a colleague.
I can't.
Laura,
see
how about you?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, I kind of see the opposite, because you see some people and they think it takes so hard to get from couch to 5K. And there's like, I mean, it takes a very long time to get from doing nothing to doing 5K. And they think, how would I possibly ever get to doing 42K? But actually, the hardest time is getting from nothing to 5K. Once you get to 5K, everything else just actually flows from that. And it gets so much easier. I mean, I ran the marathon yesterday and I'm fine today. I mean, I walked into work. I went to the pub after the marathon last night. I was grand. After my first half, I remember really, really like vividly lying on a bed thinking, I really need a drink. I don't know how I'll ever get up to achieve that. And there was a minibar at the end of the bed. And I was in that level of pain where, like, I couldn't have actually sat here and talked and, like, moved limbs. Yeah. And the pain level does actually come down so much in time. So, yeah, you're not hitting PBs all the time. And if that's important to you, you might find it demoralizing. But once you get the base level of fitness, it actually stays with you for a really, really long time. So once you get from the couch to, once you get from zero up to even like 5K level, which is like most towns in the UK have a local park run. So
the park runs are huge now, aren't they?
Yeah, park run is a really good thing to get to 5K, because it's this free timed run in a park local to you. Starts at the same time every week. And it's a really good like community event. And they have a back marker as well, which means that no one ever comes last. If you think, oh, I can't go because I'll be last, you won't ever be last. And that's a really good way to get to 5K. And then once you get there, it's such a rewarding thing, because it will actually stay with you for years. You'll be able to just go out for a nice jog when the weather is nice, or if you're in somewhere, or if you happen to be going somewhere and you see a nice place to run, you'll be able to do it for a very long time.
Should we do a little prediction? What time do we think we're going to run the marathon next year, Patrick?
I think I've been over-ambitious, but I think Laura's been under-ambitious, because if you can set a PB, 4:45 yesterday?
Yeah.
In that weather, then you could run a 4:30 in normal weather, and that's your 12-month goal. So I reckon you can easily meet that.
I've probably been a bit conservative. I mean, yesterday I felt like I could have gone 4:30 only for the conditions. I went out quite fast for the first half, and then I just saw people dropping all over the place. People were just getting taken off the course, and that just made me quite conservative, because I was like, okay, I actually feel fine, but I don't want to be one of those people who feels fine and then like next thing you know you're being carried off the course. So I think 4:30 is probably, you're right, a pretty low bar to cross. I mean, I would kind of want to go sub 4:15, I think.
I might amount to.
And Patrick, I think you should try and go sub 3 still.
Oh, I'm not changing the goal, but I'm just aware of just, I mean, that's running every mile at 6:52 per mile.
But as we saw,
very fast.
One of our colleagues upstairs ran it in 2:42.
I know.
Can we name the colleague?
Neil Hume.
I'm sure Neil would be delighted if we named
just
him.
Just annoyingly
well done,
fast.
Neil.
Like, that's not just fast. That's just, I mean, come on.
Okay, thanks very much. And thanks, that's it for this post-marathon catch-up. Thank you to Lauren and Patrick, and many congratulations to you both.
Thank you.
And many thanks to our producer, Patricia Nilsson. Follow Laura and Patrick's progress fortnightly online at FT Work and Careers, and do leave us your tips and comments underneath. Thank you and goodbye.
The latest episode of the Next 5 podcast is all about health prevention and vaccines. I speak to Kate Hashey at GSK.
For every dollar invested in improving health, there's an economic return of $2 to $4.
Murray Aitken at IQVIA Institute for Human Data Science.
The benefits of adult vaccination are compelling.
And David Sinclair at the International Longevity Centre.
Preventable conditions amongst those aged 50 to 64 in the UK cost $27 billion a year.
Listen to the full episode of the Next 5 wherever you get your podcasts.
When everyone's on the same page, getting things done at work is easy. No matter what you do or what industry you're in, how you communicate is key. Everything you type is equally important to collaboration, and Grammarly can help. Think of it as your AI writing partner, empowering you to communicate effectively and efficiently so you can make a bigger impact in the workplace. 96% of Grammarly users say it helps them craft more impactful writing. And as the gold standard of responsible AI, Grammarly is your secure AI writing partner that allows your team to make their point and move faster. By understanding your writing in context, Grammarly provides relevant, personalized suggestions. And with tone suggestions, you can navigate even the most difficult work conversations. You can also save time from spending hours editing drafts to just seconds with one click. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's GRAMMARLY.com/podcast. Easier said, done.